David.
I'm Raul.
Hi, I'm Andrea.
My name is Alidra.
Here's a story that David shared with us about his mom coming to the United States for the first time when she was 12.
She got to see the United States for the first time, and my mom said she was amazed because she saw green grass. She saw trees that had life, like squirrels, birds. She would rarely see life besides dogs, cats, and like
chickens,
pigs, cows,
pigeons.
And that's what all she saw until she came to the U.S. and saw different life. Her real main job was to get a diploma from high school and go to college, which she succeeded. Right now, she is a dentist assistant. My goals for my future is to achieve college, as my mom did, and from there on, choose my own path. This fits a dream come true for me, because if my mom didn't cross illegally, or if she didn't come to the U.S. at all, I would have been born in Mexico and I would have been struggling.
This is Alidra.
There's some good dreams out there, but sometimes it's a nightmare to come to the United States.
These nightmares are that you may get killed in the border, or you may not see your family ever again.
The worst sound is gunshots when they're getting killed because they're trying to cross the border, or getting hit with sticks, getting tasered. I know people, because I used to live in Mexico. We lived right by the border, and we would always see people trying to cross with their kids and their families. It was at night, so we saw like the shadows, and then there's these police that stay by the border, and when they see someone passing by the border, they turn on their sirens. They start going after them.
They shoot right away. That's just messed up, because I think that every Mexican that comes to the United States is here to do criminal stuff. They don't know that some of us are just here to come forward in our future, and they just think that we're all bad.
This is Raul, and now we're going to tell the story about immigration and why it's so important to us.
We're going to start over, sorry, because we want really, really good sound.
Our journalism teacher, Ms. Lazar, was very excited that we decided to do this story.
Why were you interested in doing a story on immigration?
We did this because we're Mexicans.
There's different things that are occurring in the world right now about racism or illegal immigrants.
What do you think are some of the stereotypes that people have about Mexicans?
That we're lazy, that we don't work, that we just come here to actually ruin the United States. We're the ones that brought drugs in. I hate that they don't see the positive side of us, that we just came here to come out in the world and try harder and like make a life here like that we can't have in Mexico.
Some of us are trying to get a good education and trying to get jobs and stuff and maintain a good life, but if they don't let us do that, then how can we fix the problem?
When you say they, who's the they?
I don't know, just people in general, like
Americans, the U.S. government that wants to throw us out.
If you're born in the United States but your parents are from Mexico, do you think of yourself as American or as Mexican or something else?
We think of ourselves like Latinas because we have the both cultures in our blood.
So we can't really pick a side because we're both. If we're born here, we're obviously American, so we're Mexican-American.
I feel like I have more blood as a Mexican than an American. I don't know, it's just like how they raised me. They raised me as a Mexican. I just like it that way. I just hate the stereotypes that are going around that they should throw out the Mexicans.
What questions are you hoping to answer as you do your investigation for the radio?
Why do they do this to us? Like, why do they make us go through all of this when everyone could have a better life here and like just they like leave out the problems?
So who are you going to talk to try and find out why they do this to you?
No, you know what immigration is? Immigration
and customs enforcement.
ICE is immigration and customs enforcement.
Before we start being journalists, we couldn't decide who might be safe to talk to.
We were scared because we all know people that are illegal immigrants here, and we don't want to get them in trouble.
I'm going to search for immigration attorney.
Yeah,
Yeah, but he could pressure us and he's gonna be like, where do your families live? I'll
be like, no, I'll be like, shut it, buddy. I'm the one asking questions here.
Andrea's trying to make the immigration group feel more braver.
No.
This made me feel good.
I'd be like,
yeah, more brave.
No. No. He's an immigration attorney, dude.
Wait, an immigration attorney is the people that help the immigration?
Yeah. Oh, the ICE. I was like, what?
I'm going to figure this out by searching the internet.
I think I'm going to ask, I don't know. Do we go to the cop station?
At the beginning when we started doing this story, we thought about telling like a cop or ICE or someone not really safe to talk to.
I think the safest person is the immigration attorney because I'm not sure what they do, but they might talk about the rights you might have or not. I'm not sure.
I think the safest person is the cop because
immigration involves cops and people that have outfits that look like cops. La migra.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
La migra is a Mexican word for ICE.
La migra means people that take Mexicans back to Mexico and other places. It's a powerful word to all of us that aren't migrants.
When we yell La migra in my neighborhood, people like start running, grab their kids by the hair if they're at the park and tell them, come on, hurry up, let's get inside. They lock their windows, close their doors, hide in trees or behind a car, under cars.
I think ICE is, I guess, patrol or something that separates you from your family if they don't have legal documents, and we don't really like them. But for USA, they're saying the US is getting overpopulated, so maybe that's the main reason they're doing that, and because they own the USA, not us. But the hard thing is we're just looking for a better life, and they're just making it worse.
They sound mean. As a journalist, I was afraid to talk to people because I didn't know how to hide some stuff or how to react. So we got some advice from Casey's assistant principal, and he told us that we should use some fake names. And here's Drew Adams.
So I would probably avoid using real names. You might use pseudonyms, which is like a name that replaces someone else's name. You could always use the excuse like, I have a friend who is undocumented, and I'm wondering what would happen if this friend, and you could create the scenario that way.
As journalists, we used our real names, but when we talked about people, we used other names. After we had advice from our assistant principal, we started talking to other people, and we talked to Heather.
My name's Heather Schmitz, and I am the middle school coordinator at the Family Learning Center.
We chose Heather because we know her by the Family Learning Center, and she works around a lot of kids, and she knows how to motivate them. We just practiced on her how to talk to other people, and she was a very good person to talk to.
What do you think about immigration?
Immigration, I think it's a really tough issue because on a personal level, I know a lot of people who are here illegally, and they're amazing, hardworking people that should have a path legally into this country, and there isn't a clear way for them to gain legal citizenship.
Do you think this economy would fall apart if there was no immigrants in this country?
That's an awesome question, because I used to work in a restaurant, and the people that typically did the jobs that a lot of people didn't want to do, we're illegal workers. There are a lot of undocumented workers doing jobs that American citizens don't want to do. So, yeah, in a sense, I do think the economy would fall apart because there's this underbelly of society that's not recognized, that takes out our trash, that raises our babies, that cleans our homes, that washes our dishes and cleans our hospitals and does all that kind of work. But yet, we don't want to give them a path into this country. I mean, who's going to do that work?
That's Sara. She's like a counselor to me. We tell her a lot of questions about Mexico and how hard it is to come over here, how hard it is to just start all over here.
Have you heard of any students' parents getting deported?
A lot.
Okay, the questions that we asked Sara was if our parents were safe, and that mattered to us because if they're not safe, we're not safe either, because without them, we can't have food in our table, we can't have a roof under to live on, and it's just hard without our parents.
For me, it's really sad, and it's here in Boulder Valley, and families who they are separate, sometimes it's the mother, sometimes it's the father.
What do you do to help kids that have, like, gotta say this?
For the parents that are getting deported, what do you give
advice for the kids?
Well, you know, usually the kids, they're not in danger because they're citizens. Who are in danger, it's the parents who are undocumented.
Let's say that my friend's parents were deported and she was alone, and like she didn't have any of her uncles here, what would you give her as an advice?
Well, to work hard. Actually, all the Mexicans, we are really hard workers, you know? I'm worried about a lot of my families. I'm always worried. And you know, especially the kids who, they don't have any clue what's going on. You know, even 11 years, 12 years old who are in middle school, they don't understand why they take the parents away, why they deported them.
Do you think most people that deport immigrants are cold-blooded, or they're just doing their job?
Well, they're nasty people. Yeah. Of course, they're doing their job, but they don't want us here. Actually, they don't want the immigrants here, you know, a lot of those people. Even if it's part of their job, they don't like us here.
We asked her if she was afraid of policemen, but she said she's not.
I'm not afraid of immigration, of police officers. You know, they're supposed to protect you.
I think, yeah. Is that the truth? We were kind of scared to talk to a police officer, but Ms. Lazar told us to get brave and tell her questions and see what she says.
I'm Officer Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, and I work for the Boulder Police Department. And I'm currently a school resource officer assigned to Casey and Centennial Middle School.
Say they were jaywalking and a police officer asked, can I see your papers? What are some things that we can tell them?
Is this an immigrant who's in the country legally or illegally? Okay. So jaywalking could, I guess, technically be considered a crime. We would ask anyone that we stop for some type of identification, so we know at least who we're talking to and that they're really who they say they are. So that would be a standard question that we would ask anybody, whether it be someone here illegally or legally or whatever. If that person wants to tell us that they're here illegally, that's their business, but that's not normally a question that we would normally ask in that situation.
And would you ask for, like, their passport or...
Well, we would ask for some kind of identifying information. I guess it would depend on what they had available. Some people from Mexico will give us their Mexican driver's licenses.
What do you think about the stereotypes that are made against, like, Mexicans?
Oh, that's not good. If I hear about it around school and other places, it bothers me a lot. Like, sometimes I'll get, oh, you're the SRO at Casey or something. I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, well, is it okay over there? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It makes me mad because people kind of have this misconception or something out there. I get just as many calls at my other school as I do at this school, so it's frustrating a little bit. I kind of have to educate people sometimes on that.
Next, we talk to Lee Shanes.
My name is Lee Shanes, and I'm the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Intercambio de Comunidades. We train volunteers to teach English to adult immigrants.
He has classes that he does with immigrants.
And our mission is to provide people with the skills to be able to communicate here, but also to integrate the two communities, the immigrant and the non-immigrant communities.
Well, my name is Andrea. Do you believe there will be an immigration reform?
Eventually, yes. This year, I don't think so, unfortunately. There's too much conflict around the issue right now. I'd say 99% of the people I know are pro immigration. The 1% are usually people outside of the organization that I come across. I like talking to those people because I want to know, what are they thinking? You know, what are the concerns? Because what I hear is mostly pro-immigration. And I know there's a lot of people out there who have concerns about immigration. And if the both sides aren't acknowledging that they're listening to the other side, then change is less likely to happen. And that's one thing that I think the pro-immigration people need to do a little bit more is look at the other side and say, hey, we hear you. We understand that this is a concern, you know, that drug smuggling is a concern and that there is some validity to it. We understand that, you know, the overcrowding of schools is a real concern. It's not just racism, but it's a real concern for people. My mom is a school teacher in Maryland, and she has a lot of diversity, a lot of immigrants in her school, and her school has grown a lot recently, and they need to hire more teachers, they need more money, they need more resources. She's very pro-immigrant, pro-immigration, but she has some concerns about that piece of it. There are some concerns that are out there and that, you know, both sides need to acknowledge that they hear the other side, and that doesn't happen a lot. Usually it's just people arguing, this is my side, and then this is my side.
Next, we went to Mr. Lurie's 6th grade social studies class. We went there because we wanted to find the other voice of the non-pro immigrants.
Hi, my name is Sam, and in this class, we are studying immigration, and it's pretty fun. And today we'll be talking about the new Arizona law, and I hope you enjoy.
Mr. Lurie told him to pretend that they supported the Arizona law.
What are people going to say? What are they thinking when they're trying to argue against immigrants coming in, especially if they're not documented?
Say someone comes in illegally and they want to do a job, and they can do it for less money than another person that is legal can do it. That person that's legal might lose their job.
It seems like the Arizona people kind of like this law, and they've been overwhelmed by immigrants that are illegal.
It was kind of frustrating to hear their other side because it's like our race to hear about.
Sometimes me and Andrea will be like, what are you thinking?
For me, the experience was really good to see what they thought about it and how they felt and stuff. But sometimes I just wanted to scream at the people that agreed with the law because it's my culture, you know. It's tough seeing them go through that. At the same time, when they gave us some reasons why they thought about it, it's just dumb. I don't agree with the Arizona law. But to hear what they had to say about it and, like, some things that, why they thought that it should be approved or whatever was, like, okay.
Remember when we looked at the State Department website?
Yeah.
How long it takes your average family to become legal if you're coming from Mexico? Different. How long was it?
18 years.
When we were talking to Mr. Lurie's class, we were kind of okay with them telling our stuff because we kind of saw the things that we were doing too. But when there's stereotypes on TV, we can't do nothing about it. Who can we talk to? We can't do anything about it.
In TV, they were like making us Mexicans or other immigrants as aliens, as bad people, as like the weird people that don't exist. They were not treating us like people on TV.
They're treating us like animals or different creatures. They called us aliens and we're not aliens.
I don't have an antenna, that's all I know.
When they would call us aliens, they thought it was funny.
We all need someone to believe in us in school, in our life, to see if we're gonna get out there and have a happy future or just fail because people don't believe in us. No glory, hear the whole story. I'll be on stage when you kill that punk for me. Pick out your ride, luxurious and sporty. Money is no object for this killer project. And those lyrics about like killer gangster rides, that's practically the whole like gangster life. Hit and run.
Oh,
yeah, it's kind of cool to talk about gangsters and gangs and what they do, you know, but when you're in it, it's not. And the way that people think that when there's this little group or something of Mexicans that are in gangs or that do drugs or steal, right away they suspect all Mexicans to do that. Like when a Mexican girl is pregnant at the age of 14, they think every girl that's Mexican will get pregnant at the age of 14. For other people to say that all Mexicans would do that, they don't know that.
They don't know what we go through every day. They don't know if we could be shot at our driveway. They don't know that. We, like, go through, like, the difficultest stuff for, like, come and, like, tell us, oh, you're, like, a wetbag. Okay, yeah, we're wetbags, but, like, we come here to have a better future.
And we struggle to try to get to
out
try
of
to
our
move
neighborhood.
On.
Out of our neighborhood is the dangerous place we could ever be.
And they say home is the safest place to be, and sometimes it's not.
I love how I am. I love, like, my people. But sometimes it gets me so tired. I swear I could wish I could be white. They have a better life.
We'll put bags on the windows just to have a car. White people think that having the best cars, like, oh, yeah, you know, we have this and that. But some people don't have that.
We had to start working at 14. I know how to work. I know how to drive a car. I know how to do anything.
How to cook. Yeah. How to clean. How to take care of our siblings, our little siblings, 3-year-old, 4-year-old.
I love my family. I love my race. I love everything about me.
It's just the advantages that we can't have. Things that we can't do because of our culture.
I think that every Mexican has a dream to come to the United States. Because there's a lot of pretty things over here to see. Any immigrant would be the most happiest person in the world if they got to come over here and see life and see, like,
the United States and how we live our lives here.
Dreams are based over there. We start our dreams over there. Then when we come here, we make our dreams come true.